Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. It is Monday, August 8th, 2022. Amazing how fast this year is going by. I hope you are enjoying your summer. Many people on vacation. Alice was on vacation last week. Oh, we missed her, but she's back. Going to get to have a legislative update and all the good stuff with her. But anyway, welcome to those of you that are here with us live. And for those of you who are going to be listening to this while you're on vacation, appreciate this being a way which you stay up on all that's going on in the crazy mortgage industry. Crazy. Market's crazy. What's going on? Regulatory. There's so much going on. But again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. That'd be us. For mortgage professionals, that would be you. And we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. As for some news, for those of you who are listening to us on Apple, this has been really frustrating. We're working with Apple to get them to connect. We transferred the RSS feed over from Blog Talk Radio over to Podtize. And when we did that, the link broke. That updates automatically. And our team at Podtize, which is a firm we're working with, is scrambling to get that reconnected. They've got great relations, just but we're getting that done. Last night I was on checking all the platforms we're on. We're on like 14 platforms right now that are updating live. We're on another 11 platforms that are in varying degrees of success. So we're working with all of them so that you can, doesn't matter which device you come to listen to us on or which by which podcast channel or means you can listen to us. Of course, you can always go to our website, Lickin' On Lending, listen to us from there, and we can be available to you. But anyway, we're working on all that. Patience as we go through this process. Seems like technology. Can't live with it. Can't live without it. So come on, Apple. We need your help. Have to call you, Tim Cook. As if I could get through. But anyway, I'll say a special thank you to our sponsors. We're going to say Finastra, Fusion Home Fusion System. Their mortgage bot is a leading market point of sale that really works closely with the origination platform. So many changes going on there at Finastra, and they're just continuing to get better and better. Check them out. Go to finastra.com, finastra.com. Okay. And also Form Free. Love these folks at Form Free. They're so much fun to work with. They have a leading provider. They are a leading provider of some of the direct source VOEs. It's VOAs, verification of assets, VOIs, verification of income and employment, and some of the latest data. So check out what Form Free is doing. Listen to the interview we did with Christy Moss. Love those guys over at Form Free. Brent and the whole team is amazing. June 20th. Is when we last had Christy on, not that long ago. Listen to that interview as well as Lender Toolkit. Brent Emler and Michael Wetbeck were on. Michael's with Blueprint. Check out that interview on July 11th. And also SnapDocs, they do such an amazing job of digitizing the mortgage closing to offer a better experience for you and your closing team, settlement partners, borrowers, and do it all through SnapDocs. Check out this company. They're doing some of the most leading edge things out there. Them along with Simple Nexus is a must listen to deal. By the way, we had Shane Westra on and listen to that interview on June 27th. Simple Nexus has got it happening, folks. They are Simple Nexus, SnapDocs, our advertisers are some of the absolute, not some of, and we're more and more advertising with us that are absolutely the industry leaders. And Total Expert does a great job at that, and they're an advertiser. We're thrilled for them. They create this total experience platform that unifies the data and the marketing and the sales and the compliance solutions to provide a cohesive experience across the customer lifecycle. It's an outstanding platform. Check them out. Also, they can help you with your recruiting through their CRM. little dyslexic in the mouth there. Anyway, also thank you to the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Success Kit, as well as Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting. Deb Weemus there helps you with your LinkedIn profile. And, of course, we're so grateful to have our regulars with us. We're grateful to Adam DeSantis being here, Les Parker, Matt Graham of MBS Live, the amazing producer of some of the greatest data on a real-time basis, Alice Alvey back from vacation, Alan Pollock, who is dialing in with us in just a minute, and my co-host, Jack Nunnery. Jack, good to have you with us, friend. You're not out of the boat today.
You're I'm here. Not.
You're live.
I'm not. It's too hot, David.
It's too hot out in the bay. Sitting on the dock of the bay. Well, anyway, you don't sit on the dock. You're out there in your boat. So it's a little bit better out in the boat. But anyway, Jack, good to have you with us. Let's get over to the MBA Mortgage Minute with Adam DeSanct, MBA's what's an update from the MBA. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSanctis. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last Friday, MBA sent a comprehensive comment letter to the FDIC, Federal Reserve, and the OCC in response to the agency's Notice of Proposed Rulemaking on Community Reinvestment Act Modernization. The nearly 700-page NPR is the first joint agency rulemaking proposing regulatory changes to CRA since 1995. MBA's letter noted several top-line issues that would be crucial to improving the current CRA framework, including by providing greater clarity and consistency in the CRA's application, addressing changes in the banking industry, including the expanded role of mobile and online banking, and creating a consistent regulatory approach that applies to banks regulated by all three agencies. For more on MBA's letter, please visit the Letters and Testimony page at MBA.org. Now that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Good job, Adam. Just thank this. Appreciate the MBA for all that you do. Get registered for the annual conference. If you're not already registered, do so. The hotels are all reserved hotels are already taken up. So many of us are scrambling to try to find Airbnbs, hotels around the area. But this is going to be a big conference. A lot coming out in this conference. So be sure to get signed up. Also, sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance app. They do such an amazing job with us, helping us get the word out to the Hill on important initiatives, some of which you're going to hear Alice talk about a little bit later. Let's get over to Les Parker with this week's TM Spotlight and a macro view of the markets. Les, we appreciate you and Gary Canterbone producing these for us each and every week. So without further ado, here's Les.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy. Wages waiting so long. To be where they're rising in the sunshine of Federal. Strong jobs and wages scatter the hopeful doves and unite the hawks. Meanwhile, the struggle between slowing growth and surging inflation rages. Wild moves continue, but no surging bull trend. Economic discontent and erasing evidence of mortgage payment boycotts by tens of thousands of homeowners add to China's growth woes. Consumers, borrowers, and financial analysts around the world are baffled and cry for sunshine. These views are my own. Bask in the sunshine of insight at tmspotlight.com.
Now, I got to tell you, that Jack, you've gotten to know Les real well. Sound like Les, the Les Parker we know and love, does it, Fred? Woo! That was good. Brought back some memories, Jack.
Sitting out well, there. I appreciate what that was cream. So
yes, cream. Yeah.
You know when you talk about just the handful of guitarists over the many decades, and you got to tip your hat to Eric Clapton. So
Cream, Clapton, yeah.
Cream is a favorite of mine, from many days past.
Many days past. We won't go into how many days past it was. But someone
David,
who...
David.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, one thing that maybe we want to talk about in a future podcast is the real estate situation that, China's experiencing right now with some of the challenges from, for example, Evergrande, that's a really interesting story unfolding in China. And it just, you know, we don't always have to learn from our past mistakes. We can learn from other people's mistakes. And
exactly.
I think that would be something that I'd like to spend some time on in the future.
Well, yeah, and let's cover that after Alice's or after Alan's segment. Let's get into that. So do some more work. Come on, fast. Get ready. You ready for do? We'll do a little of that a little bit later on in the podcast. How about that? Let's base on it.
Okay.
I'd love to get your thoughts on it. All right. Well, let's get over to Matt Graham, who's here with us. Matt Graham is the founder of something we love using. It is the MBSLive.net system. It sits behind me at all my conference calls and all the screenshots I do, and I get so much feedback from people on my screens in the background. So really good stuff. I really love having him here. Matt Graham's here. Love his updates. And we get to hear him vocally. Live. Matt, how are you, friend?
Hey, David, how are you? Speaking of feedback, I have a little bit of audio feedback. I'm not sure if it's just me.
Yeah, I just noticed that. I muted out Jack, and I noticed that that went away as soon as I did that. So, yeah, sorry about that, Jack. So we'll get your cough. I'll turn it back on, Jack, in a minute. What do you got for us, friend?
So, wild week last week, and we're getting a lot of questions on MBS Live about, is this the biggest volatility we've ever seen? The answer to that is no. We've definitely seen bigger swings, but in the short term, it does feel pretty intense at times. Let's talk about the setup for last week. First off, we came into it at the best levels in several months. This due to the stuff that Les has shrewdly alluded to the past 2 weeks with that dichotomy between slow growth and rising inflation. So the slow growth narrative was in force coming into last week. But right out of the gate, we had Fed speakers on Tuesday, particularly Mary Daly, saying that the market was way ahead of itself in anticipating a sharp decline in the pace of the Fed's rate hike regime. She also said the Fed's work on inflation is nowhere near almost done. And that is sort of a departure from the takeaway that many people had from Powell's press conference 2 weeks ago.
What a buzzkill. What a buzzkill her comments were.
Totally, totally. And, you know, in her defense, she did sort of maybe appreciate that her words impacted markets a bit more than she would have expected, and then came back the next day and tried to offer things that were a little bit more conciliatory. But unfortunately, the next day also brought ISM non-manufacturing or ISM services, which as far as broad economic indicators go, is a better one than GDP for the most part. It's more timely. It's more tradable as far as markets are concerned. And this one was quite strong. Markets looked past the bond positive aspect of lower inflation and instead focused on the fact that the business activity portion of the index came in at 59.9, and that was versus a median forecast calling for 54.0. So if we think about ISM with a baseline of 50 being like zero, would be, you know, for other oscillating type reports. And if we think about, let's say, an average good pace of growth, let's use something like non-farm payrolls, right? An average good pace of growth for payrolls would be 200,000 a month historically. So we would equate that to 52.0 when it comes to ISM. That means the forecast was effectively calling for what would have been in payrolls terms 400,000 and instead came in at 990,000. That just gives you an idea of the sense, the scope of the beat in that data. 59.9 versus 54 doesn't really sound like much, but if you were talking about payrolls at 990 versus 400, that sounds pretty huge. And that is the way the market took it. There was an instant and massive reaction in Fed funds futures, greatly upgrading the view on where the Fed funds rate would be in the middle of 2023. That was a big mover last week as far as Fed funds futures went. Because heading into the second half of July, or really throughout July, we saw a gap between where the market thought the Fed funds rate would end 2022 and where it would end up by mid-2023. It showed a quarter of a point, and it sometimes more than that, decline, indicating that the Fed would be hiking into the end of 2022 and then cutting at some point. Now, after last week's economic data, that gap has closed considerably. So they're seeing the Fed funds rate staying relatively level into the middle of the year at the very least. And that's really as far into the future as we have super liquid trading in that market. Then to add fuel to the fire, you've probably heard the news already about Friday's jobs report, which was stellar. And, you know, there are some yeah buts in that report, but 528,000 versus 250, very big beat. Wage growth, as Les alluded to, 0.5 versus 0.3 forecast and a tenth of a percent upward revision to the previous month. That is it's great economically, but it also increases the risk that inflation can continue to have some legs. And that brings us to the current week, where we have CPI coming out on Wednesday. It will be our first look at a big ticket inflation index for the month of July. It's expected to decline a little bit at the core level, but really expectations don't matter as much as how we come in versus those expectations on Wednesday morning. So there's substantial market movement potential from that report, and I think it stands a good chance to set the tone going forward. It's one of only two CPI reports between now and the critically important September Fed meeting. And I would look for, you know, a lot of volatility on Wednesday morning. Now, Dave, it could thread the needle, and we might not see a huge reaction one way or the other, but nobody knows exactly where the eye of that needle is. And if it doesn't thread the needle, then, yeah, things could get pretty carried away.
A blind man threading the needle, which is like the Federal Reserve threading the needle. So what can we expect? It'll be most interesting. Matt, good job. Good job. This data that you have on your screen here behind me is just amazing. I mean, how you put it together, how you organize it. One person was asking me, he says, how many TV screens do you have back there? Or how many monitors do you have back there? I go, it's just one monitor. And it's the magic of Matt. So I now refer to it as the Matt magic. I got Matt magic going on behind me, but it's the data. It's the power in the data. So anyway, Jack, any thoughts and comments from all this that you want to add? Your mic is back on. We don't have any echo. That's good news. I don't know what that was, Mike. Jack. It was what it was.
Well, if Matt can share some of the Matt magic with Jerome Powell,
no kidding. What a buzzkill.
You know, his job gets increasingly difficult. Just when what the Fed said, well, we want to pause, we want to, you know, take a look at the data, you know, it'll be data driven from here out. And then we get the data that we got on Friday, you know, with new job formation, literally, as Matt indicated, doubling analyst expectations. I mean, when is a recession not a recession? And I guess, you know, when the economy is doing as well at forming jobs, you know, we have record low unemployment. The focus, turns back to inflation this week. And, you know, as Matt indicated, PPI on Thursday, and then the University of Michigan consumer sentiment on Friday. So this is going to be a busy week. But Matt, if you've got a little magic to share, I think Jerome would be willing to listen.
I send him everything I got all the time with little, you know, I clip out letters from magazines and just send it to him like ransom letters. He doesn't respond.
He doesn't respond. Matt magic. Yeah. So come on. We need some Matt magic. We're going to coin that. We're going to TM that. Come on. Dial in. Use MBSLive.net for some Matt magic. He sprinkles market dust all over everything, and everything gets better. So anyway, hey, seriously, you know, this is going to be another volatile week, which is another really, really good point why people need to have a system like MBSLive.net. You have that, you see what's going on, you may not like it, and don't shoot Magic Mac, Magic Matt, because he just brings us the data. So good job.
Just the messenger.
Just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. All right. You good? You do a great job. I really appreciate you. Appreciate the relationship, and much appreciated. Do a great job.
Appreciate you.
Here you go, folks. Right there from Portland, Oregon. What's the temperatures up there? Is it still in the hundreds? You had the hundreds going.
101 yesterday.
Whoa. Unbelievable. Hot, hot, hot. When you're hot, hot, hot. Anyway, we won't go into that. Enough singing. Someone texts me says, enough singing, let kid get on. Let's get Alice Albee on here. Here's a little known, less known fact. Do you know what started the podcast for me? Why I reached out 14 years ago and started this crazy podcast, which has been so outrageous. Do you know we're approaching, we're fast screaming towards over 1 million downloads of this podcast? It blows my mind to see how fast this thing is going and growing. And that's even with Apple not updating it like they should. It's really crazy. But anyway, Alice Albee, I got asked to speak on a topic related to compliance. Now, I stay up on things. I read the industry stuff and all that. But again, having dyslexia, I like the audio version of listening to things. So I searched and searched and searched and could not find any podcasts that were covering the topic I wanted. So I had recently met Alice Albee and her and Janet Wetzel. I met them and just, they're my sisters from another mister. I mean, they just instantly became some of my best friends. So grateful for them. And so I said, Alice, I got this idea, putting together a podcast. And I said, would you be willing to get on the podcast with me? I mean, this thing called the podcast, it's like new and it's exploding. I felt like I was like trying to explain the internet for the first time. And I said, I think this could be pretty big. Alice, did you ever, and she agreed to come on. Of course, she's been here. She's the founder, one of the founders of this with me. And so grateful to have you here, Alice. But did you ever think that we'd be screaming to burst over 1 million downloads of this podcast when we started this thing 14 years ago? Did you ever think?
I did not think that. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. We just, you know, kept meeting after Monday. And before you know it, 14 years have gone by. It's been crazy. And I still laugh that I still spend a lot of them sitting in my car because it's a quiet place and having my lunch. So the idea of going video, but wait a minute, I won't be able to eat my lunch sometime.
Oh, yeah. Eat your – do it. Well, people love this organic. I mean, yeah, well, we may comment on what you're eating. And oh, by the way, you just dribbled on your blouse there, but that's all right.
Yeah,
I mean,
it won't be a good look. Yeah, I'm
But I do appreciate you so much, Alice, believing in it for way, way, way back when. Again, we have Alice Albee, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at our beloved Union Home Mortgage. She's here with a legislative update. I thought everyone would enjoy a little bit of that backstory.
It is funny. Yes, Union Home has been very supportive of me continuing with this. It was very valuable for me as a independent business owner for all those years. So that was a lot of fun.
It's not hurting Union Home at all either, having you here, that's for sure.
Oh, no. Yeah. They're very grateful. All right. So for
Let's
me, with Congress, you know, doing all kinds of other things right now, I wanted to focus on the fact that we've gotten memos from each of the agencies. So I've got a VA, a Fannie, a Freddie, and an FHA memo just to get everybody up to speed, make sure you didn't miss one, or maybe there were some confusing things in it. VA just published their circular at the end of July. It actually came out for publication shortly after that, talking about allowing exterior-only appraisals and desktop appraisals. Now, they want it to be in a waterfall process, so it's going to start with, you know, you should be trying to do a regular interior appraisal. And if you fall into this bucket of the purchase price does not exceed the current calendar year conforming limit, so you're not going to be doing anything above into the jumbo category. It's just for single family, not manufactured home. The house can't be undergoing any renovation, no leaseholds. And you've got one or both of the following. The veteran's making a down payment of at least 20%. Now, right there, I go, stop. Well, how many VA loans do you really have with that kind of a down payment?
Yeah.
Right? Slim to none. But then the or, it's been more than 7 days since we requested the appraisal and the case still remains unassigned. So it is designed to not only be a little bit of a fast track when we've got a nice LTV cushion, if you happen to have that, but more importantly, if you're finding a delay. So there is a process to read through in the circular to make sure you get the steps down. It'll still be run by VA reassigning the appraisal, but hopefully get a little bit of relief for some of those delayed appraisals. Then we've got Fannie Selling Announcement 2207. This one is offering up lender-funded grants. I was thinking a lot about this one. How many independent mortgage bankers might offer up some type of a grant? You know, when you read something like this, it really is a bank product. you've got deposits, you want to offer something, you really have to pull together a full program, and it has to go with the Fannie Home Ready. So read through the, you know, six or so bullets that are on there. Is there now a new market out there for small grant amounts, $1,000 or something like that, that become a marketing angle, I guess is the best word. So check that one out.
Yeah, and by the way, I have a client that is acting on this, and they're putting together their own small grant program, and they're seeing it as a real advantage. So I expect that's a good one. I'd call attention to that one.
Yeah,
everybody.
Why not?
Listen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
You think of, that's fine. I think it's a good one to stretch out on because I thought, well, if you were going to offer credits of any kind, you know, is it six to one, half a dozen to the other to then be able to advertise something new and with a consumer benefit? Just make sure you set up your processes right because this is one that will get audited, you know, that you're managing it correctly. And you're not upping pricing to cover your grant donation, fine print. Then Freddie's Selling Guide 2216, the age-based resale restriction. This is going to be a little bit of release in the automated collateral evaluation. So that was a nice welcome thing. Also, you can now get partial income rep and warrant relief, which is nice if you've got three sources of income, for example. One of them could still get rep and warrant relief through LP, and maybe the other two don't, as opposed to a blanket statement that none of them get it. And then I mentioned this, I think, on two shows ago, that FHA extended their appraisal validity period, and that was Mortgagee Letter 2211. So you now get a full 180 days on an FHA appraisal and don't have to fuss with that 30-day extension rule. Read the whole thing for the details, but that's what's going on in memo land from our agencies right now, Dave. I'll kick it back to you.
Did you get the memo? Well, you got the podcast, so you got the memo. Anyway, that's really good.
Yeah.
Excellent. What about the CRA thing? I mean, where's the CRA thing going instead of that, Alice? The CRA, the Independent Mortgage Bank, I just, this is like fingernails on a chalkboard.
It was, you're cutting out a little bit there, so I'm not sure if that was on my end, but
the CRA.
The CRA piece that's in a proposed rule state really has minimal impact to minimum mortgage bankers and then to the banks and credit unions out there who are subject to CRA. I think they'll find some relief. So as was reported by the MBA in the intro piece, you know, the MBA is on this one, and they really do think it'll be some good changes to make it easier to comply. To be able to pull in more data is my understanding so far. More to come as it gets through the comment period. We'll report back after they respond to comments and we see what the final might look like.
Good job. Appreciate it, Alice. Thank you so much for being here for 14 years, almost every week except a vacation, and even broadcasting from your fishing boat while your husband fishes. I get to be both with you. I appreciate it so much.
Airports, cabs, you name it.
Airports,
wherever we happen to be.
It is so true. It's been all over everywhere. Thanks, Alice. Appreciate you so much. Alan Pollock just dialed in. He actually dialed in, then he disappeared. And I go, maybe we are. Are we not going to have the next segment? But you're back, man.
I'm back.
did you drop your lunch in your phone or your phone in your lunch and disconnect?
Neither, actually, but I have a restaurant joke. So
that's
just perfectly.
Wait, I'm still getting comments about the taco bottle, and I'm going to have lunch or tacos with Dustin Gray of Milestones here this tomorrow night. He brought up the taco funnel. So anyways, we're not going to have any taco funnels though, Lickin. Just it'll just be messy all over you.
Yeah,
anyway, what you got?
I think we make some of those, you know, or we find if we can buy them and brand them and we call them the LOL taco maker.
LOL,
for Lickin on Lending for any of our new listeners. And we do a press release just like some of the vendors in our industry. We call it AI-driven. Every adjective we could think of, mission accomplished, groundbreaking, you name it. It'll be great.
Yeah.
So
funny. Anyway.
So here's the restaurant joke.
Here's the restaurant. All right.
Hear about the new restaurant called Karma. There's no menu. You get what you deserve.
Okay. All right, that's good. That's how that
yeah,
works.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. I mean, there was definitely more. There was another one here. A guy walking across the street dropped a Scrabble board, and I went up to him and said, "Hey, what's the word on the street today?"
Oh,
I thought that one was. I like the restaurant one better.
Yeah. I think we'll stick with the restaurant one. That was good. Yeah, karma. Yeah. All right.
So, let's talk about a couple things, right? The first one, David, is real estate technology and mortgage technology. There is a serious gap in the middle. I'm going through the process, and many of you listening may be going through the process of buying a home. And I got to tell you, I spent a few months prior, before the rates started going up, putting multiple offers in on homes, and every single offer I made was low or the lowest. And I finally found a property. I put an offer in. I've been working with my mortgage team. I've been working with the real estate team. And at the end of the day, I lost again. And even though I was the only one bidding on this property, somebody came in on the 11th hour with an all-cash offer that had seen it only a day ago. But I've been going back and forth on trying to get everything worked out. I did a quick inspection because I needed to verify if the roof was going to be insurable and all these other things. Make a long story short, There is something missing. My mortgage team, and I know them very well, and if they're listening, I still love you. But there's the piece missing is that they're not selling based on product and based on true affordability. They're selling based on getting the deal in and then figuring it out later. And I think that's a big mistake, because what's happening is there could have been other products and other ways that I could have been able to put a higher bid in, but I wasn't able to get to that point where I had the information to make that decision. By the way, David, the real estate agents and the mortgage folks that use Mortgage Coach, and it's a shameless plug, but I love their technology,
is
completely different, because if you think about something like seller buy downs, you have the ability to use the technology to look at the opportunity. If somebody may not come down in price or cover something, you can negotiate a way for them to put you know, a seller buy down into your closing costs, which would buy down your rate, especially the first year more than the second year, and then finally, you know, fully amortize or fully normal on the third year. So where I'm going is there's something missing in the middle. The ability to walk into a property and know all your options. The ability to know your options throughout the process without having to talk to somebody. It's great. You don't want to feel like you're going to a car dealer where every time you talk and negotiate a price, they have to go to the pricing desk and come back to you and talk to you again, right? So I want to mention that to the folks out there that are thinking about, and Jack, you made this comment, I'm going to talk about it a little bit today, single vendor or best of breed, right? And you also said that with Counterparty Risk, I think it was a podcast ago. That's really important as you think about this and you think about how you're serving your customers. If you're a financial institution, right, you want to hold their hand. You'd prefer to go with them to the open house if you could. But if you're not a financial institution, or you do a high volume and you're a financial institution, then you're on the other side of the fence. So what is that gap in the middle? And Total Expert recently did an article over with National Mortgage News, I think it was, or it was Housing Wire, about something missing. I just experienced it myself with something missing. And I do truly think that we're waiting for some innovation to occur. Right, everyone's got a point of sale, or everyone's going to have a point of sale. Everybody's going to have feet on the street, right? What is it in the middle? Is it CRM? Is it CRM doing drip campaigns in that technology, and you're integrated with text messaging, or is it technology where you walk into a property, and using location, you immediately have 30 different ways to look at that loan as you walk through that property, so you can make an educated decision and beat the next person who's about to place that all cash offer that I just experienced for like the fifth time now. So I leave that to all the technology minds listening. Some connections missing in the middle. There's definitely financial literacy, or mortgage literacy, let's call it. It's not so much how to use the technology, it's what to do with the technology. But David, you know, digital mortgage, right, where it comes down to, because that's what we're all thinking, digital mortgage, it's like tying knots, right? Alice, you're on the boat with your husband. I was on my boat last week. There's 100 ways to tie a knot. And it's so funny to watch someone come on your boat and you pull up to a dock and you watch them try and tie it off, right? No one, they think they know, and they do it all different ways.
Yeah.
Right? They may just wrap it around 90 times and hope the wind doesn't untie it 90 times. But ultimately, there's 100 ways to do it. So what is your 101th way that you're going to devise your technology And Jack, it really comes down to what you said, so well said. Is it single vendor or best of breed? And then it's not just about the technology. And if you're thinking about, you know, what to do with that single vendor or that best of breed, there's really just three very quick points, David, I want to bring up, and I'll open it for discussion. The first one is, right, what is your fit or your purpose? What is the strategy?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've just got so many applications coming in and you're so good at the marketing that you're good with that and you don't have an issue. Or maybe it's complete opposite. So what is that strategy? Second is adopt a planning and vendor selection approach that goes beyond the usual. Beyond the usual means don't just grab whatever vendor everybody's talking about or you see listed with a press release in Housing Wire. What that means is make sure you understand what that vendor offers and how it affects all the other components of your overall strategy. And you may need somebody. There's consultants. Actually, David Licken and team does this. Or there's other folks out there. But ultimately, you have to understand what is it that you have. And then finally, the last thing is implement all that using a value assurance approach to make sure that you're implementing things in the right priority and that are valuable to your return on investment. And then the last comment I kind of make, and Jack, you're probably thinking this, or David, to the question we had last week, which is, are you on a fixed cost or a variable cost?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have control over that. So anyways, tech's a big deal. There's a lot going on. Think about that. As you do your modernization, develop your fit for a purpose strategy.
Well, Alan, you bring up a great point. And Jack, I want you to jump in. Alice, love to have you contribute here as well. Matt, you always have something to say that's usually pretty good, really good. So I want you to jump in on, because you raise a really good point. Variable cost is one of the things that everyone should be shooting to. And you say, like, you have control of this. I would say when it comes to some of the major LOSs, do I really have control over this or do I? How can we get to a variable cost when every vendor needs to know I've got to have this much minimum coming in? And if you only do that minimum, then you're going to be paying more. But then you want the discount when the volume goes up. I mean, do we have the flexibility on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has flexibility, David. I think it's a matter of having the right people in your organization that understand what you're doing and sticking mm-hmm. with a strategy. If you say there's one thing you want to do and it costs you X, but your vendor tells you, no, you can't do that. Well, there's a gap in the middle. And how do you bridge that gap? Is it maybe they're not the best vendor for you, or maybe there's an adjustment you need to make somewhere else. Or, you know, sometimes you give up something to get something. So what would you give up? What would you get somewhere else to make a different change? So I really do think that we as lenders, we're in complete control over the situation. It's just a matter of spending the time and having the right people.
Yep. Good point. Jack, any commentary? Then coming to you, Alice, and then Matt. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, you know, David, I've got a lot of thoughts around, you know, vendor management. You know, I mean, first of all, to our listeners, you know, now is the time to take a hard look at your tech stack.
Yes.
I mean, nobody wants to implement technology when we're in a $4 trillion mortgage origination year, right? I mean, so when volume is slowed down, it reduces the inherent risk to implementation. And so now's a good time, right? But mm-hmm. as you look at, you know, the vendors that you may want to partner with, you know, you need to think about, you know, the resiliency of the vendor, you know, what's been their uptime rates, right? And, you know, one thing that a lot of people really don't put a whole lot of thought in is whether or not this is a vendor that breeds vendor dependency, right? I mean, what can you do on your own as opposed to having the vendor do it? I mean, you know, look, there's the cost, David, to the software and implementing the software.
Right.
And then there's the ongoing cost, you know, that every time you want to add a field to a report or you want to make a change in configuration, you know, and those costs will add up. And there's a couple vendors out in the space that are very notorious at making that painfully expensive for you to do, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's kind of one of those hidden costs when you're going through your vendor review, I mean, you're thinking about your license cost or your transaction cost, your implementation cost, but you need to look down the road and you know, get a good feel for what's the cost, you know, because the mortgage business changes every day, right? I mean, mm-hmm. some new rule, some new legislation, you know, some new, you know, memorandum from, you know, you pick the GSE, you pick the agency, right? And you, know, you have to go back to your vendor to build that change in, or, you know, is their rules engine user-friendly enough that you feel comfortable with a competent BA and testing around the change? That's something you can do in-house. So, you know, just, you know, a couple thoughts there, David, that, you know, it's not just about, you know, seat license costs or transaction costs and implementation mm-hmm. costs. There's an ongoing cost to technology, and you know, make sure you have that as part of your cost analysis.
So true. It's great. Alice, thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, well, Alan said something even earlier in his comments before the vendor piece, so sorry if I'm going to hurt everybody's brain by pivoting back to that, but and about the transaction itself, you know, that he was shopping and wanted, you know, to know his options early
on. I was going
to go
there.
And how do we get there? And, Alan, you brought up the 2-1 buy-down. This is an old-school product. I still don't see seller contributions being strong enough to pay for closing costs and a buy-down. When we get to that level in the market, then it's interesting, but I think it's a lot of talk right now on that 2-1 on the buy downs. I mean, some are finding that they've got the funds there to pull it off, but it's really interesting how old it becomes new again, right? You dig that back up again. But
you know,
to
Alice,
your point, the loan officers have got to be armed for transaction options, property approval, and buyer approval. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. So my mortgage company did not bring that up, but of course, being in the industry like all of us, I know about it. And I was using it as leverage because the homeowner wanted to not have to pay for the roof. And so I got a price on the roof, but my turn on the negotiation was, I'll pay for the roof, but you're going to contribute to buying down my rate. And my real estate agent said, that's a great idea. But obviously someone came in with a full cash offer.
Yeah, no roof repairs.
Yeah, permanent buy-down's nice. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep. That's
and
true.
David, if I could just jump in on what Jack said.
Yes.
Jack, what you mentioned as the resiliency of vendors is huge. And I'm almost upset that I didn't even bring that up. So thank you for mentioning that. And it's not just the resiliency, Jack, and you and I have talked about this in the past when we did work together. It's not just about, you know, what are the hidden costs and how do you manage that vendor, but what is your risk of that vendor going out of business or not being able to support changes you need? And do you have or do you need to have another vendor in your back pocket? So definitely a discussion for a different day, but I appreciate you bringing that up.
Good point. Yes. Matt Graham, got to get you in on the discussion. Usually you drop and run away because you got to chase the markets and send up more updates, but you're still here. So we're going to bring you in on the discussion.
Yeah, it's partly an accident because I am sort of working as I listen, and so I haven't caught everything. But it sounds like Alan was sad because he didn't get a deal that he was trying to close.
Yeah, he got beat out by another cash offer, and he had done so many efforts to make sure that he didn't have that as a potential risk. But, man, so frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know why they just don't do it like eBay, because you have all this opacity and – and my wife and I were going through the same thing and a couple months ago and wondering if we're going to make the offer we want to make. Are we just throwing away an extra $100,000 to come up to what we think that we're going to go for? And I would much rather just know the other party's bottom line. And I think that's a good place where the MLS and realtors could drive some innovation. And I guess it could increase froth at times where things are frothy, but kind of a tangent to what you were saying anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't really have any crazy thoughts on what you guys were talking about. Just the general bidding process.
Yeah, the whole bidding process is one of those ones, and it really comes down. This is where the difference between not just the company you're working with, but the mortgage LO that you're working with. And that's why business owners that are listening to this, MLOs that are listening to this, what are you doing to keep your people updated on all the options they have? We need more options. You got to make sure you have every tool in your toolbox. Every one of your MLOs, when they go out to the market, have got to have every tool in their toolbox. Alan, you gave our good mutual friend, Dave Savage and Company at Mortgage Coach, a good shout out. They do a great job of making everyone aware of that. He's got a great podcast to encourage you to go listen to Mortgage Coach. It's all good stuff, really good. But it's really important that we be keeping everyone aware of what tools. And like Alice said, we're hearing about quote-unquote new tools. You go, that's not so new. We used that about 20 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever it was. And we have enough people in there where they're going, that sounds new, realtors, everything else. So really important, really, really important. Yeah, really, really important. You've got some of that going on. One of the things I love about your system, Matt, at MBS Live, is they're helping each other. Loan officers are helping each other on your system, posting scenario deals. And that's another big advantage of using MBS Live. Sam, we got a chance to slip in another little why you should buy.
And there has been a ton of talk on 2-1 buy downs and all the rest of it, more than I've ever seen in the past 15 years. And the same response that Alice gave is the general response from the most experienced people, which is, okay, yeah, A, that's not new. B, doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good point. But it's sizzle. Sometimes it's that differentiator. What can you differentiate yourself?
Absolutely.
With? I'll pull. And when it comes to differentiating yourself, man, have every tool. It may be an old tool that you dust off, take the rust off of it, repackage it, even give it a new name. There's so many opportunities.
Also,
that's why
David.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Sorry, on that note, also, I know it kind of goes without saying for a lot of people in sales-oriented industries, but be aware of what your competition is doing because that landscape has changed so drastically with respect to rate quotes during this time where MBS coupons are compressed. And people are like aghast, wondering how in the world can so-and-so quote 4.625? Well, you know, they got a point of a discount point in there. And if you're not quoting that way, you might not know how much your point buys right now, because it's like in some cases more than 0.5% in interest. And a lot of people are using those quotes to get the business in the door and then just presenting that option alongside other options. And then that loan ends up closing at 5 1/8 as opposed to 4 5/8, but the person who lost the deal is just thinking, oh, such and such lender is just quoting 4.625, and it's not realistic. That's just what they use to get the person in the door in some cases.
Yeah, that's why I love your service. I think you've got it's one of the many values to your system up there, because you listen to people chatting and how they're structuring deals with each other, and it's a community, and they really work well together. Man, this is so exciting. Getting text messages from a number of you saying this format of your new podcast, where you sit and talk about each of these issues and just let us listen in organically, is so valuable. Thank you. Getting a lot of feedback on this. And we're going to be adding other topics. Just reach out to Jack, and I know have the privilege of working with Mark Helm, and try to drag Mark in here and start talking about servicing and agency approvals and some of the things going on there. So we would just continue to expand the depth and breadth of this podcast, and then let's watch us rocket up over 1 million downloads really soon. Anyway, so good to have you all with us today. Jack, you have anything else you want to add for this? Otherwise, we'll call it a wrap. You and I have a meeting we got to jump on here in 12 minutes.
Yeah, you know, David, my comment about the 2-1 buy downs, you know, what was that line out of Mary Poppins from Dick Van Dyke? All that, about to happen, all happened before. So,
Can a Mary Poppins?
Actually, we even had 3-2-1 buy downs back in the day, if you remember.
Oh,
David.
Yeah, 5-1. Remember the 245 program, Alice? Remember the 245 program?
Oh, yeah. Gem mortgages, growing equity. Yes. I did wraps. Ugh, yeah, remember
all of that stuff. Jack, you're old enough to remember those things. Yeah, you're right up there with me. That's just like crazy. It's I mean, this is the time for innovation, and that's why listening to this podcast and getting on listening to Savage, Dave, my good friend David Savage is a mortgage coach. There's lots of opportunity, but what are you doing? You're sitting there agreeing with everyone that there's nothing to do, or you're getting on and just educating yourself, giving yourself the advantage. Listeners, come on. Share this podcast with others. We're here to help you. And then sign up for MBS Live and watch the others talking about it every single minute of every single day on that channel. One of the more valuable features of that thing right now, especially. So good to have you all. Alice, do you have anything you want to share as we wrap it up?
No, just thanks everybody for your thoughts. This is fun getting back to, you know, sharing thoughts and ideas that hopefully people can take away some value with.
Yep. Alan?
No, just I agree with the listeners. It's great to get some discussion going, and your feedback to us is also great. So thank you for listening.
Yep, we really appreciate you being here, Alan. And I'm so sorry you lost that house again. I know that's got to be just so frustrating, but at least some more homes are coming on the market. And with the rates up a little bit, we're going to see a little bit of a slowdown. Maybe not. Anyway.
That's right.
All right, that's it. We're going to call it a prop podcast or do a wrap on this. Thank you so much for your feedback. Again, for those listening by Apple, we're going to get this fixed so you can get all the downloads on that. Thank God we have, 14 that are podcast platforms that are all updating. We've got some. Google Play is one of those that's stayed alive and updating with us. That's really good. So we're working on it, folks. Get that thing solved. It's really interesting how popular the Apple podcast app is and how many we have listening via that. So we've got to get that fixed. We're adding more. So it's good to have you with us. Have a great week, everyone. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.